This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. You know, when tech entrepreneurs are looking to launch, they typically find capital and support in Silicon Valley. Other business startups flock to New York or Boston. But while they may have the money, these big cities don't have a monopoly on innovative ideas. New companies with creative solutions are springing up all over the country, including, of course, here in North Carolina. And a campaign to help them grow and succeed rolls through Durham today. The Rise of the Rest Tour is a tour by AOL co-founder and venture capitalist Steve Case. He's traveling across the country looking for the hottest ideas and figuring out ways to fund these new ventures. He's going to be speaking in Durham this afternoon at the Carolina Theater at 2 o'clock. Then 10 local teams will offer their best business pitches in a competition for $100,000. I will be one of the judges in the competition. Steve Case joins me now. Hello, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Tell us about the Rise of the Rest. What is it? How did it come about?
Well, you set it up well, which is America is a great entrepreneurial nation, has been its whole existence. It's worth remembering that, you know, 250 years ago, America itself was a startup. It was just an idea and has grown rapidly. And there have been waves of innovation, the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, more recently the digital revolution. And that's really what's built our economy and built the different cities and regions around the, you know, the country. The recent phenomenon has been around technology, around the Internet, and Silicon Valley has been at the epicenter of that, which is great. I think, you know, Silicon Valley will continue to be sort of the pride of America, the envy of the world. But there are also great entrepreneurs all over the country, including in North Carolina, and we're trying to shine a spotlight on those other entrepreneurs, get more media attention to what's happening in these other regions around the country, and get more investors paying attention to what's happening, because there are great entrepreneurs building great companies all over the country, not just in a few places like California.
Yeah, and as you have pointed out, I mean, there were times during our development where geography was important to your economic development. If you're located on the Great Lakes, that makes you a pretty good place for shipping grain and storing it and processing it, et cetera. Silicon Valley, once a farming area, because you could farm there, that sort of thing. But now that's less important, and I guess that's part of what you're getting at on this tour, huh?
Yeah, I think there are different sectors that have risen, and, you know, based on different dynamics. Obviously, North Carolina, you know, agriculture, tobacco, things like that were important. You know, 100 years ago, Pittsburgh was sort of the steel capital powering the Industrial Revolution. You know, 50, 60 years ago, Detroit was sort of the kind of the Silicon Valley of its time, when the automobile was the hot technology and Detroit was the epicenter of that. So you see these different waves of innovation, and sometimes regions rise and sometimes also fall based on some of those different dynamics. But what's happening now is that it's gotten easier and cheaper to start companies. There's more access to capital, and companies can leverage other resources more instead of having to do everything themselves. And entrepreneurs are starting to decide where they want to live, where they want to build a company, as opposed to feeling like they have to be in a place like Silicon Valley. We've seen this dynamic over the past few decades that, you know, decades ago, if you wanted to be in the financial service market, you had to be in New York City, you had to be in Wall Street. That's no longer the case. And decades ago, if you wanted to be in the entertainment industry, you had to be in Hollywood. That's no longer, you know, the case. You can now, you know, create movies anywhere. You can have a mutual fund or a hedge fund or whatever you want to do anywhere. And now we're starting to see that same phenomenon happen in entrepreneurship, and particularly, you know, tech entrepreneurship. And it bodes well for, you know, the country overall, because I think we'll have a more evenly dispersed innovation economy, and it really will result in the rise of some of these regions like in North Carolina.
So describe the Rise of the Rest Tour. What happens in the contest? How does it work?
Well, we basically decided, we've been working on this for a few years. I chaired an effort that was launched at the White House about 4 years ago called Startup America Partnership, and actually visited Raleigh-Durham with President Obama a few years ago to talk about, you know, startups. So this effort has been brewing for a while. But last year we decided, rather than just kind of talk about it, why don't we get on the road, kind of hit the road and with a bus, kind of an Americana road trip, and visit some of these cities. So the first tour we did last spring was started in Detroit, then Pittsburgh, then Cincinnati, then Nashville, and then we did another tour in the fall in Madison, Wisconsin, then Minneapolis and Des Moines, you know, Kansas City, you know, St. Louis. All great cities with great past, but also great futures based on what's happening with entrepreneurs. And this time we started in Richmond and then went, you know, obviously to Raleigh-Durham, and then from there we're going to Charleston and then Atlanta, then New Orleans. So you're really trying to focus on what's happening in each city, try to meet with, you know, the governors, the mayors, the senators, to get the political establishment paying attention to entrepreneurs, get some of the large company CEOs and senior executives also out paying attention to what's happening, visit some of the accelerators, visit some of the startups, have a pitch competition, have a celebration of startups to kind of bring the, you know, the community to together. And then, you know, we get on the bus and head on to the next city.
Well, how do you pick the cities?
A mix of things. Part of it is trying to identify which are the cities that are showing promise, that are there's good momentum building, and that was a little bit of a push, kind of putting a little kerosene on the fire. You know, it can kind of go to the next level. And obviously, because it is done by bus, there's sort of a, you have to pick cities that are reasonably, you know, close, you know, 4 or 5 hour drive each evening. And so that's sort of a mix of how things, you know, how we do it. But there are a lot of great cities in this country that are showing great promise around entrepreneurship, even Washington, D.C., where 30 years ago we started AOL. At the time, it really was a, you know, government town. It really was government contractors and lobbyists and so forth. And now it's a hot entrepreneurial kind of ecosystem. And so we're seeing this all over the country. I've been to the Raleigh-Durham area several times in the last few years, and it's really great what's happening there, and spending more time with some of the places like America Underground and HQ Raleigh and other venues, and just seeing what these startups are doing and seeing what these entrepreneurs are doing. It's going to be a great day.
Well, you've described all the changes pretty well in our economy, and the fact is places like North Carolina have really grown. You know, RTP has been here since the 60s when IBM moved in, so it's earned a reputation as an entrepreneurial and a high-tech hub. But as you've pointed out, and I think anybody can see, the money, the venture capital is Silicon Valley, Boston, New York, and then it falls off pretty quickly. Given the fact that you can start these businesses anywhere, and places like North Carolina have earned the reputation, what stops the capital from flowing to places like this?
Mostly ignorance, and that's what we're trying to change with the rise of the rest. You're right. Last year, 75% of venture capital went to three states, California, Massachusetts, and New York. The other 47 states, including North Carolina, fought over the other 25%. And that's crazy because there are a lot of great entrepreneurs building a lot of great companies in these other places. So it's really more, you know, kind of making sure people notice and showcasing some of the great entrepreneurs and some of the startups and get more investors paying attention to it. So there are a lot of different ways to do it. The Rise of the Rest is one way. Last year, we didn't just visit these different cities by bus. We invited the winners in some of the cities to the South by Southwest conference in Austin, Texas, where tens of thousands of people were there to give them a bigger showcase. And we also partnered with Google and brought entrepreneurs from various regions around the country, including the Raleigh-Durham area, to a demo day kind of pitch competition at Google's headquarters in Silicon Valley, and invited dozens of venture capitalists in Silicon Valley, because that would be a easier way to get them to pay attention to what's happening outside of Silicon Valley. So a lot of different things that are underway. We're trying to do our part to shine a spotlight on these entrepreneurs and attract more media attention, attract more investor attention, and that's sort of the reason, obviously, we're in the Raleigh-Durham area today.
So we got 10 teams competing. I assume they went through a winnowing process. What are the characteristics you're looking for as you assess the pitches of these startups?
Yeah, ultimately, it's, you know, kind of big ideas that can change the world, and we like a variety of different things. Although we have a, you know, obviously a technology orientation, you know, some of the winners and some of the cities have been in other areas, you know, food products, or, you know, St. Louis, for example, the winner, because St. Louis is sort of a beer capital. Anheuser-Busch is based there. It was actually like a Keurig for beer, you know, a simple way to kind of create beer in your home. So it varies by city, and we try to, you know, get to some of the people in each region to suggest, you know, kind of the right, you know, up-and-coming companies that are worthy of attention, and we, you know, have an open process for everybody to submit. And then we do have a winnowing process where a team of people figure out which are the ones that should be, you know, pitching and should get the spotlight. And the list I saw for the North Carolina was quite impressive, a mix of different things, some in the learning area for K-8 students, some in the health area in terms of a platform for data exchange, some in the social media area, some in the food area. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, pitch competition, because it will be a variety of great entrepreneurs building great companies in a variety of different sectors. And there are a lot of different ways entrepreneurs can have an impact on our lives, and it's not just about technology.
Well, I tell you what, if you can turn my Barca Lounger into a brew pub, I'm paying for
that.
Maybe
that used to be your idea. Maybe you go from being a judge to actually being pitching your idea
Mine is the app that finds your missing sock. Like, all I do is I wave my smartphone.
You're just you're just bubbling with these two entrepreneurial ideas.
There you go. And I'm a judge, so unfortunately I'm disqualified. So, but what about you talked about diversity is one of the things, though, that is sadly absent, I think, and you've noticed that. Talk about what's going on there in terms of startups and some of the more promising businesses.
I think that's one of the areas that needs more attention. I think there isn't the kind of diversity in terms of entrepreneurs in most regions of the country that we need, and we're trying to, again, kind of promote that. We do have part of the focus in terms of picking some of the companies is that not just a variety of different sectors or ideas they're targeting, but a variety of different perspectives they bring in terms of diverse perspectives. And so I think that is important, and I think getting more people to pay attention to that is important. One of the things I think is encouraging is in the last few years there have been the development of what's called crowdfunding platforms that allow you to initially kind of raise money for a project if you wanted to create a product or a documentary or something. You can use things like Kickstarter, Indiegogo to raise money for those projects. Now, increasingly, it's being used to raise money for the companies themselves, either equity investments in the company or debt financing for the company. And Congress passed a law a couple of years ago called the Jobs Act to help facilitate that. Why that's encouraging is it kind of levels the playing field in terms of access to capital and the percentages for example, women who have projects funded on crowdfunding sites like Kickstarter is quite a bit higher than the numbers if you look at the venture capital investment. So it shows you that there are a lot of people with great ideas, including people who do have kind of bring diversity to the equation, but they have not really had the same opportunity. It has not really been a level playing field, but hopefully in the coming decade, as people are more aware of the opportunity and there's new platforms like crowdfunding platforms, we'll start help to level that playing field, not just for regions, so places like North Carolina get more capital, but also for people of color, women, and others.
Well, the thing that venture, I mean, we talk about diversity, and of course here we're talking about demographic diversity, but then also you can look at the diversity of ideas, the kinds of ideas you want to fund. Still, VC is always looking for the idea that's going to work, right? And so that means there's a couple of extra components. Not only is it a great idea, like finding my missing sock, but also, can this guy, can Frank Stacia run a business? Yeah, Frank, great idea. But you can't run a business. I'm not going to fund your idea. So where's the disconnect there, especially if we're looking in communities that don't have a history in this field, right? Then we love your idea, but we don't think you can bring it. We don't think you can bring it to the market.
I mean, there's a great quote from Thomas Edison, one of America's greatest inventors and greatest entrepreneurs, which is, "Vision without execution is hallucination." Yeah. And that sort of summarizes it. Having an idea is great, but you have to then execute. That's about people and partnerships and product and things like that. And so as we listen to these pitches, of course we need to be captivated by the idea. We need to think it's a big idea. Hopefully it's an idea that can help change the world. But we also need to understand what not just the entrepreneur themselves, but the team around them. Or is this a team that can take that idea and kind of give it life? And then also, are they able to create the right kind of product or service that really will resonate with an audience, and try to understand the competitive landscape, why they will be able to break through. But I also think there's a different kind of company that's beginning to emerge. I think it almost is the third wave of the Internet. The first wave was just building the Internet, building awareness of the Internet. It seems crazy now, but when we started AOL 30 years ago, only 3% of people were online, and they're only online an hour a week. So that first wave was just building the Internet. The second wave has been building on top of the Internet. So it's sort of the app economy, product services, whether it be Twitter or Snapchat. That's sort of been the phenomenon of the last 15 years or so. But this next wave, which I think is just beginning to break, the third wave, is really going to be improving other aspects of our lives in very pervasive ways. So it's things like learning and health and food and transportation and energy. And I think it's going to require entrepreneurs that can persevere, because I think these are complicated issues. It's going to require entrepreneurs who can partner with larger companies, because I think partnerships are going to be very important in this third wave. And in some cases, it's going to require entrepreneurs who can engage with governments, because governments are regulating many of these sectors, and also large customers of things like health and education. So I think it's a different kind of entrepreneur that's going to be successful in this third wave. And my guess is far more than people think, those entrepreneurs will be in these Rise of the Rest regions around the country, which really have expertise in different sectors, have a history of understanding agriculture or health or learning. And so I think it bodes well for places like North Carolina. It's not just about more capital as the rest start rising. It's also these different kinds of companies that are going to be formed in the next, you know, 10, 15 years as part of this third wave.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you can bring that comparative advantage to the marketplace. Though I have to say the reason we were only on for an hour a week, Steve, was because when you started, you were charging us by the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like getting in a taxi. I mean, it's sort of intimidating. So you're going to get on and off as quickly as you can. You certainly weren't going to let your kids on it. So it took us a few years. But the reason for that was because it was costing us $5, $6 an hour that we were paying the networks to get you connected. So we had to, you know, had to figure out ways to get that from dollars an hour to pennies an hour. And that's when we could move to unlimited pricing. And then obviously over time it moved from narrow band to kind of dial up to broadband. So it took a decade to really start building the internet. And I think it's a reminder that if you want to, you know, change the world, some get lucky and they really have overnight successes, but far more, you know, really have to stick with it for, you know, 10 plus years before they finally break through. And that was certainly the case with AOL and other internet pioneers.
Talking to AOL co-founder Steve Case today on The State of Things. You started the tour last year. You've had some winners. How have they fared so far?
Quite well. We've actually seen, well, one of them go on to, you know, be acquired at a nice premium. A number of them have raised additional capital, and a number of them have established strategic partnerships with larger companies to help accelerate their growth. And so it has, you know, demonstrated, still early because most of these companies we saw either you know, a year ago or 6 months ago, but the initial results are quite promising. I think people are beginning to pay attention to what's happening in these rise of the rest regions, whether it be kind of the reporters covering the scene or the investors starting to look at opportunities, starting to get on planes to visit some of these companies. So we're optimistic that the, you know, the rest will keep rising. We'll keep identifying great entrepreneurs building great companies all across the, you know, the country.
What was the most surprising idea or the most, I guess that's it, the biggest surprise for you as you've done these tours?
I think the surprise for me has been the diversity of ideas. It really, I mean, I kind of expected that going in, but it's been great to see it, you know, firsthand, where people aren't just doing more of the same. They really are, you know, tackling interesting, you know, problems, interesting opportunities in terms of improving, you know, the way people do things and trying to disrupt and create new value in some big industries that are really are, you know, key parts of the country. The other thing that's not surprising but was interesting to see is how different regions, you mentioned this earlier, have particular natural strengths and how they build on those strengths. So, for example, in Pittsburgh, because it was this, you know, the steel capital, and there are places like Carnegie Mellon, which has probably the leading robotics program in the world, they're really great at making things. So some of the sectors like the Internet of Things, there's a lot of momentum in Pittsburgh. We saw in Cincinnati a lot of momentum around consumer products. So a lot of people worked at Procter & Gamble or other companies in the area, and they're particularly skilled at that. In Nashville, we saw a lot of health, you know, care, particularly health IT companies, because, you know, healthcare is a big sector in Nashville. So it's interesting to see the overall diversity, but it's also interesting to see where each region, you know, tends to have a little bit of a bias towards a sector or two based on the fact that they have some real strategic advantages in understanding some of those industries. And the other thing that's been great to see and happened in I think almost every city we visited, that the neighborhoods were being revitalized by entrepreneurs. That, you know, 50 years ago, if you wanted to revitalize a neighborhood that was challenged, you'd try to bring in the artists. So, for example, you know, Soho in New York City was kind of became this artist mecca, and over time kind of got revitalized. Now, if you want to revitalize a neighborhood, you bring in the entrepreneurs. And a great example wasn't Cincinnati. There's an area there called Over the Rhine, what they call OTR. And I was told that 10 years ago, it was one of the top 10 murder neighborhoods in the country. It was a very scary place to visit. Most people didn't want to go there. Now it's the hottest neighborhood in Cincinnati with the hottest restaurant in Cincinnati because entrepreneurs moved in and started creating companies there. It had a nice kind of vibe, which then led to restaurants moving in and apartments moving in and condos moving in. And suddenly an area that nobody wanted to go to 10 years ago, everybody wants to go to. And it's because of the entrepreneurs. It's because of the startups. And we saw that dynamic in other regions as well. So it's really great to see that it's not just about the entrepreneurs creating products and services that improve people's lives, not just about creating the jobs and the economic growth that lift up the communities, but also actually helping transform some of the neighborhoods of the communities based on what the entrepreneurs are doing.
Well, Steve, good to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you this afternoon at the pitch competition.
See you soon. Steve Case, co-founder of AOL, touring the country on the Rise of the Rest campaign, speaks at 2 o'clock today at the Carolina Theater in Durham. 3 o'clock, local teams compete for $100,000. I will be part of the judging. We have details on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, environmental activist Eileen Flanagan tells us how she encouraged PNC Bank to stop financing mountaintop removal. Stay tuned.